the federal death penalty is off the table. And then someone shows up at the Brooklyn MDC, the Metropolitan Detention Center, pretending to be an FBI agent to try to break the accused killer, Luigi Mangione, out of the MDC. You simply cannot make this stuff up.
Welcome to the global phenomenon, Surviving the Survivor, where we bring you the best guests in all of true crime. Here's your host, Emmy Award-winning journalist, Joel Waldman.
This story has everything: high-stakes lawyering, some massive prosecutorial missteps so far, and one of the strangest jailbreak attempts ever to date. What's up, SDS Nation? Welcome to Surviving Survivor. This is the global phenomenon that brings you the very best guests in all of true crime. It is not a tagline. It is our reality. We do it day in and day out with panelists, three panelists every night, Monday through Thursday, 7 p.m. Eastern. Friday, it's 1 o'clock with my mom, the child Holocaust survivor, Carm, hence Surviving the Survivor. She likes to give me a tough time, but people wonder why that name, and now you know. I roll solo when there are moments of big breaking news, and that's what happened today while we are on verdict watch for Brendan Banfield, and it all revolves around Luigi Mangione, you know, that handsome, now indicted potential murderer, not convicted yet, but that's what he's accused of murdering United CEO Brian Thompson in the early morning hours back in 2024, and now he's beginning to really face the long arm of the United States federal justice system. Number one, a federal judge has just barred prosecutors from seeking the death penalty. Some say it might be a soft on crime move. Not exactly. We'll get into it. Second, an alleged FBI agent who turned out to be a fake FBI agent. He shows up at Brooklyn MDC. This is where the Alexander brothers are being held. It's where Diddy was being held. It's where the crypto bro, Sam Bankman-Fried, is being held. You know, all these guys are in there. And here comes this fake wannabe FBI agent who rolls up there pretending to be a federal agent. And officers there apprehend him after quickly realizing that he's not an FBI agent. He had a pizza slicer in his bag, which we'll get into, a really interesting weapon of choice. But first, who is this judge? What's going on here? Why no death penalty? The judge is Margaret Garnett, U.S. District Judge in the Southern District of New York, a former federal prosecutor herself, not known as an activist judge, known for methodical technical rulings without emotion. A judge dismissed the federal murder through use of a firearm charge. So the judge dismisses the federal murder through use of a firearm charge. Also dismissed were related weapons counts. And they were the only charges that made Mangione death penalty eligible. It was those two charges that would have made him death penalty eligible. So without murder through use of a firearm and also without the related weapons counts, they simply can't charge him with the federal death penalty. So it went away today. And as I said, it's not a soft on crime ruling. This was a technical indictment failure, according to legal analysts. But why did the judge throw it away? The judge ruled that prosecutors failed to properly allege a qualifying crime of violence under federal law. This is very technical stuff that I myself only really understand on a surface level. Really have to have a constitutional lawyer who delves into this to thoroughly flesh it out and explain it. But again, the judge ruled that prosecutors failed to properly allege a quote-unquote qualifying crime of violence under federal law. So in plain English, you can't just say, yeah, this was a really violent act. You must precisely link the charge to a statutorily defined violent offense. You have to link it to the offense, and apparently the government didn't do a good enough job, and that's why the federal death penalty is off the table. The government simply did not do it correctly, according to another legal analyst. If you're going to seek the death penalty, essentially the takeaway here is you don't get to be sloppy in your prosecution of said death penalty. And that is what the judge ruled on today. What does this mean immediately? The death penalty, once again, is off the table on the federal level. That Mangione still faces life in prison, but the execution aspect is gone. And prosecutors can't just go back and fix this at a later date. The dismissal today was with, quote unquote, real teeth. Another piece of very important information that we're getting today, Luigi Mangione's backpack, it will not be suppressed as evidence. This is something that the defense was really trying hard for. The same federal judge ruling that the backpack will not be suppressed as evidence. And what was in that backpack? Some really important things that tie Luigi Mangione to this crime, namely a 3D printed handgun, a suppressor or silencer for that gun, and his manifesto and other pieces of evidence, like the fake IDs he used at the hostel on the Upper West Side when he was hiding out. And imagine if the government couldn't present that as evidence, their case would be basically over in a lot of ways, because I don't, you know, there's some video of Mangione, but there's no way to say for certain that that video is him. But when you could link IDs like gun and fingerprints and a suppressor, now we're talking about a whole different ball of wax. I guess this guy, you know, ideologically in his own head felt like he had the right to do this. I just want to underscore that it is never, ever, and if you're watching this, feel free to debate me in the comment section. It is never okay to murder anyone over anything, especially ideological. You know, you're not happy with the healthcare system, so you're going to go and murder a father of two and a husband who's the CEO of United Healthcare. And then you've got a legion of fans who have raised close to $2 million for a defense fund. Are you people kidding me? And I've got people texting me and tweeting at me, not texting me, but tweeting at me that the murder of four Idaho students in from Moscow, Idaho, that he's innocent and wrongly accused. Guy took a plea deal, admitting he was guilty. And I'm dealing with that. And I'm dealing with that with Luigi Mangione and all the people on that cesspool that is X are fighting back and forth over this. I mean, come on. And who are these women, these young women who are showing up in court for Luigi? What is going on in this country? Who are the prosecutors in this case that are bungling this a little bit, you might want to ask? It is the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York. The case was fast-tracked, very sort of politically sensitive and highly public, political in the sense of the state of affairs of healthcare in the United States that has polarized people. And so in that regard, it's become political. But the SDNY, they prosecute all these high profile cases. They're in the middle of the Alexander brothers right now. And there's some trepidation there that the Alexander brothers are overcharged. And then we saw, because of the sex trafficking and not the R that rhymes with grape charge. And then in the Sean Diddy Combs trial, they could not get the RICO charges, the racketeering charges typically associated with a mobster. And their legal analysts had a field day saying Diddy was way overcharged. And even though he's serving time right now in Fort Dix, New Jersey, Sean Diddy Combs will see the light of day sooner than later. And it seems like he's having a blast in prison. Ordered everyone a Thanksgiving meal and seems to be the belle of the ball there. But soon enough, that guy will be out because the SDNY didn't get the conviction that they were looking for. In the case of the Alexanders, you've got 60 plus accusers that have come forward and they say at least 20 victims who are going to testify. Can they get them on sex trafficking? Only time will tell. But back to Luigi Mangione.
I guess it's fair to say I'm a pretty high stress guy because I worry about absolutely everything, including this very ad that I'm reading right now, and whether or not you're going to believe me and go out and buy this amazing product. But there's a company that ships federally legal THC right to your doorstep, and man, they are discreet. And yes, I'm talking about mood.com. And among their gummies, two of them are my favorite. Sleepy Time Advanced Gummies does exactly that. When you're up and you're tossing and turning at night, you take a Sleepy Time gummy, boom, you are out cold. And then next, COE, Carm, sorry, but it's true. Sexual Euphoria Advanced Gummies, they help in the bedroom. They help a lot. But if you're not into gummies, there are other options. You've got flour, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and yes, even beverages. And despite what you've heard in the news, THC products such as Moods are still federally legal to buy online. And best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but listeners get 20% off their first order with code STS.
Prosecutors basically, in their arguments before the court previously, argued that the violence was quote unquote obvious. And the judge essentially said, you know what? Obvious is not good enough. The defense reacted. And again, there's an all-star defense team here led by the Agnifilos defending Luigi Mangione. They called it a fundamental failure by the government, essentially just trying to say that it was obvious that it was violent, but not proving it or linking it. They emphasize that constitutional protections matter most in capital cases and that it is a huge strategic win for them, meaning the defense. And you could see it on their faces when they walked out of court today. They were very happy. In some ways, this is already a win for the defense, getting avoiding death for this 20-something-year-old defendant. Just getting him off the death penalty is a big deal. And it, in a lot of ways, just flipped leverage in the case or momentum from the government back to the defense side. So zooming out a little bit here to look at the particulars, the federal case arguably now just got a little bit weaker. The state case could move faster if it happens, and people think it will happen on the state level. Jury perception is said to change sometimes when the death penalty disappears. So they might be wondering, why no death penalty? Is this a weak case? Does that influence the jurors? We don't know. But in a matter of time, we will. And this ruling will undoubtedly be cited in law school classrooms in future generations. So this is going to be a landmark case and a very big deal. And we're going to see how it all plays out. But part two of this story today is just insanity. This guy shows up at the NBC Brooklyn trying to initiate a jailbreak for Luigi Mangione, the same guy we've been talking about. And just when you think this case couldn't get any stranger, it does. And they always say that truth is stranger than fiction. So who is this guy that showed up with a pizza slicer? Let me find it, because I just flipped. I just hit a button and my notes just went flying away from me. So stand by 1 second. We're having a technical issue and I'll get you right back to it. Here we go. So the man who shows up with a pizza slicer, who is this dude? Mark Anderson, Mark with a K, 36 years old, from Minnesota. And that's kind of interesting because there's a lot of political protesting and a lot of protesting demonstrations. I was almost going to use the word, the R word, R-I-O-T, but I don't think you can call it that. But that's all going on in Minnesota, and that's where this guy Mark Anderson is from. He has zero connection to law enforcement, even though he showed up and said, hey, I'm a federal agent. This guy thought he was Scott Duffy for a minute, FBI agent, but no. No connection to the case that anyone can explain. He's not a friend of Luigi Mangione's, doesn't know Luigi Mangione other than what he is read about. So this guy was just going to pop into the MDC and say, hey, Luigi, come with me. We're out of here. So where did it happen? It happened at the Metropolitan Detention Center, the same holding jail center as Luigi's, where he is sitting right now, a very high security federal facility. There used to be the Manhattan version of it. That was, I think, razed or destroyed because it was in such bad condition. Rats are running around the Brooklyn MDC. It's said to be an awful place, but that's where these high profile inmates go. And it's not a place you just walk into. So this guy, Mark Anderson, I don't know if he's a little as the kids would say, DeLulu, but he certainly wasn't thinking with a rational mind. But he showed up, he says, to, again, get Luigi Mangione out of the MDC. He claimed that he was a federal agent, an FBI agent. He told officers that he had a court order signed by a judge and demanded Mangione's release. And they're like, okay, I don't know who you are, but show me what you've got. Before he did that, he claimed that he was armed. So that's obviously going to alert corrections officers, federal corrections officers inside of a federal facility. So what did they do? They did what any normal officer would do. And this guy is not an officer and not normal. So they said to Mark Anderson, okay, show us your ID. And he said, no, I'm not going to show it to you. So he searched this guy, no badge, no credentials. He tried to show them a Minnesota driver's license. It's like if I took out my Florida, I used to have Jersey, man, it hurts to say, but if I took out my Florida driver's license and handed it to an officer at the MDC and said, hey, I'm Joel Waldman. I'm host of SDS. I'm also a federal agent. I want to walk away with Luigi. They would smack me around, but they didn't smack this guy around. They just arrested him with that Minnesota driver's license. When they looked further into his bag, he had a pizza cutter. You know, the rolling things that you use to slice pizzas. Apparently, he works in a pizzeria, according to reports. He also brought a barbecue fork. So does he work at a barbecue place, too? I don't know. But yeah, you heard me right. He brought a pizza cutter and a barbecue fork. I'd like to know in the comments section, I mean, is this guy, I mean, he's obviously a little bit out there, sort of Looney Tunes, but you think this guy has like a diagnosed mental health illness, or this guy just like have a fantastical mind thinking, okay, I'm going to get this guy out. Why did he show up there? Well, authorities asked him that very question. Authorities say that he believed that Mangione should be released. In his own mind, he thought he was being unfairly incarcerated. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people in this country who might be DeLulu, because you've got young women coming to court, and young men, mostly young women, because they think he's a good looking guy and they don't think he should be in court either. So this guy, Mark Anderson, isn't alone, but it was a possible, and it seems like an ideological fixation that this guy, Mark Anderson, just couldn't shake. Again, no evidence that Luigi Mangione knew him. By all accounts, it appears to be delusion, obsession, or some form of attention seeking, or all of the above. This was not Ocean's 11. Nothing close to Ocean's 11 or Ocean's 12. This was just absolute craziness and chaos until MDC Brooklyn officials sorted it out. So what is the deal with Mark Anderson? We know Luigi Mangione is not getting the death penalty, but he still faces life in prison. So what is his new friend Mark Anderson face legally? Number one, impersonating a federal officer, which is a felony, potential false statements, another felony, I think, possible security related charges, and some serious prison time. What exactly that is, I don't know, but I would assume well over 5 years potentially. And ironically, it could be spent now that he did this at the MDC, he might himself become an inmate at the MDC because this was apparently a federal crime. Wow. Why does this even matter besides this guy being a nut job? It shows how public narratives can really radicalize individuals and how people presenting information have to be careful, including us at Surviving the Survivor, which we try to do. Usually we try to have a little fun despite the serious subject matter. It also adds security concerns around Luigi Mangione. You know, it sounds like the MDC was ready for this. What if a helicopter lands in there and it's a way more serious attempt? What do they do? I'm sure they've got to have protocols in place for these really high profile inmates like Luigi Mangione. It already complicates further already intense proceedings with Luigi Mangione. Like his defense might argue an emotion that he needs more security, that he shouldn't be at the NBC, that too many people know his location? Does he need to be brought to a secret location? Does he need to be held somewhere else in solitary? I don't know, but it could certainly raise other arguments. And certainly this judge, who is a no-nonsense judge, does not want any sort of circus atmosphere. And this certainly adds to it. There's enough with all the people coming to court to support this guy. The last thing on earth this judge wants is some clown walking in trying to escape with a federal defendant. Final takeaways here. The judge basically said that federal prosecutors overreached and now they're paying for it with the loss of the death penalty. That notion, the death penalty, is gone from a legal perspective. It won't happen. Defense momentum right now is real. The case has obviously attracted enough attention to attract a guy like Mark Anderson to try to come and whisk away Luigi Mangione. And this is now as much a procedural case in a lot of ways as it is a murder case. So this case isn't just about what happened on the street. It's about what happens when the system gets sloppy and when obsession takes over. As always, please, down below, leave a comment, hit the like button, even hit the subscribe button. We've got an active Patreon link. The COE drops court documents and other important information every once in a while, some silly photos as well. They go in there. Please, we love having you guys as subscribers. Please join. We're up over 191,000 on the road to 200,000. We can do this, STS. Love you all. Love you, New York City. And let's get justice here for assassinated CEO of United Healthcare, Brian Thompson, and get justice for his two children and his wife. That's what matters most. See you soon.